Okay, how many of you men have never heard of pozole before? Well, most of you have. Okay, yeah, we're Westerners. That's the scared man's version of menudo. Menudo's got all kinds of different body parts that some people don't like. I'm kind of fond of it. But we're having pozole and some other breakfast burritos and stuff at Man Cave, so I want to invite all you guys here to come on out. And also, too, if you're a regular tender, I'm going to ask you to do what we did last month, because we had one of our record turnouts, is to text five guys in your contacts. Text them and remind them. I did it, and some guys said, oh, thank you, I forgot about it. So a lot of guys will go, they just forget about it. You know how we are as men. So text them and remind them about Man Cave this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock. I heard about a little boy, 8 years old, and was at the corner grocery store, and he bought a large box of laundry detergent. And the grocer walked over trying to be friendly and asked the boy what he planned on doing with it. He goes, I'm going to wash my dog. And he says, no. I said, don't do that. He says, this is too hard on him. It'll make him sick. It might even kill him. And the boy said, I'm determined to do it. And so he walked away. And about a week later, the boy went back to the same store, and the grocer asked him, said, how's your dog doing? He says, he's not doing good at all. He died. And the grocer's trying to be polite, not having those I told you so attitude, but says, I told you it probably wasn't a good idea to wash your detergent and wash your dog with that detergent. He says, he didn't die of being washed with detergent. And the grocer said, oh, yeah. I said, well, what did he die of? He goes, I think it was the spin cycle, the little boy said. That'll do it. How many dog lovers we have here that just hate me right now and didn't think that was one bit funny? Not funny at all. Should have told a cat story. Well, 2 weeks ago, we left off in Judges 14. We'll be in Judges 15 tonight. And we left off with Samson in that train wreck of a wedding when he went down to Timnah and married that gal. And it was a mess. He did a contest with his groomsmen, and that didn't go good, and he got mad. And we left off 2 weeks ago with him storming out of the wedding. Remember, there is you'd get married, but the wedding will last for 7 days. And the wedding really wasn't official until the groom went into his bride and they had relations, and that was when it was official. But he hadn't had a chance to do that. He got mad, remember, because his wife told the guys the riddle. Remember that riddle? What's inside, you know, the lion that he killed, the honey, made up this riddle, trying to get clothes from him, just kind of being a goof about it, having some fun. It flipped the script on him. His wife told the secret to her fellow Philistine friends, and Samson got mad, and he stormed out about halfway during that wedding and went home. And then it says that her father says, well, man, we're going to have a wedding. Somebody's going to marry her, and best man come over here. And went over, and the father of Samson's wife said, this is your new husband. And they went in and consummated the marriage. Well, we pick up in 15 now. And we're going to see the continuing saga of Samson. Verse 1 of chapter 15, Judges 15. But after a while, in the time of wheat harvest, about June, July, over there, hot, Samson visited his wife with a young goat. Now, men, the Bible gives us clues oftentimes to happiness and how to find a way to your wife's heart, those keys. So after you storm out mad out of the house sometimes, and I'm leaving, and when you come back and you'll get in her good graces if you bring a goat with you. It's surefire way to patch things up with your wife. And so that's what Samson did. He brought a goat back, and he's going back to make up. He calmed down. He calmed down, took a breath, calmed down, all right. And he said, I will go in to my wife in her room. But her father did not let him enter. So he comes back and says, okay, you know what? Hey, I got mad. I'm mad at you. I didn't like you telling the guys the riddle. He says, but I'm over it now, so let's continue the marriage. And the father says, no. Samson is probably thinking, no, what do you mean no? Well, here's why in verse 2. Her father said, I really thought that you hated her intensely, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please let her be yours instead. And you probably feel like me, like all of a sudden you start to see smoke come out of Samson's ears and top of his head, and he's going to get hot. We know he has a temper problem. And man, all of a sudden, here we go. Now, I want to make a couple points along the way as we go through this story about anger. I want to talk about anger throughout this story. Here's the first observation about anger. Anger burns bridges. A bridge that is burned oftentimes is an end to ever going back over that bridge, ever coming from the place that you were previously at. And in this case, that's what happened to Samson. His anger caused him to lose his wife. The father-in-law said, he was so mad, he's never come back. He hates her, so I'm going to give her the best man. Sometimes these decisions can't be reversed. Sometimes things are done in anger that once you cool down and you say, what was I thinking? I wish I could change this. But unfortunately, you can't. It's done. It's too late. It's irreversible. I did some studying. I looked and found this out, that the majority of murders that are committed are what are described as crimes of passion. In other words, there's not a whole lot of first-degree murders where, you know, you're sitting around plotting it and planning it. The majority are things where you get into it and you lose your temper and somebody just, you know, shoots, kills, whatever the case may be. Oftentimes you hear people say, I don't even remember committing that murder. I blacked out. I was so angry, I blacked out. And I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, what'd I do? And they say that that's a real phenomenon. They can't believe it. Say, oh my gosh, I lost my temper. But unfortunately, it's too late to reverse that. And now they've murdered and killed someone. Very often, it's someone close to them. And now they're going to spend the rest of their life in prison over one little loss of temper. No way to change that. And I know that the regrets that I have in my life, the things that I wish I could change, often are related to me losing my temper. Things said to my wife, things done to my children, correcting improperly, overcorrecting. I wish I could change those things. That's the regrets that I have in life. And Samson was dealing with that now. He came back and too late. That bridge is burned. And it goes on to verse 3. Samson then said to them, this time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail and put a torch in the middle between two tails. Now, don't ask me how he caught 300 foxes. Is that what it was? 300, is that correct? Yeah, 300 foxes. Other translations say jackals. I'm not even sure what a jackal is. Some dog-like, coyote-like thing, I believe. And supposedly these jackals traveled in packs of up to 200. But somehow he was able to get 300. And maybe he had help. Doesn't say that he did it by himself. Maybe he had some help and got 300 of these things and tied their tails together and put a torch in the middle of them and then lit the torches. And he turned the foxes loose, verse 5, when they had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the shocks and the standing grain along with the vineyards and the groves. So he's just out of his mind mad now. Out of his mind mad. And I'll destroy these guys. And you would think, originally I thought like, well, why the Philistines? I mean, if he's going to be mad in this situation, be mad at his wife's father for giving his wife away and just go after him. But somehow I think he thought, well, these Philistines were probably behind it. They're all against me. And he took out his anger on the whole nation. In verse 6, then the Philistines said, "Who did this?" And they said, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timonite, because he took his wife and gave her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Interesting. That these Philistines, they knew that it was wrong what this dad did. Said, "Hey, you don't do that. I mean, there was a ceremony there, and this guy married her, and wrong or right, and whether he was mad or not, you had no right to give your daughter away to the best man, because that was Samson's wife, and that was wrong. And not only was it wrong to do, but now you got him ticked off, and look what he's done to us." And so they burned Samson's wife and burned her father. And verse 7 says, "Samson said to them, 'Since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you, but after that I will quit.'" And I don't quite know what that means. I don't know if he was saying, "Hey, I'm glad you guys, you know, burned her, and so, you know, I planned on doing more after this." That's kind of how I read into it. "I'm going to burn your field. I already burned that field, and I've already done that." He said, "But I'm done now. I'm done. Because you guys took care of the father, and you kind of saw my point. I won't do any more." I guess that's what he's saying. "But I'll surely take revenge. I won't take any more revenge after you." Here's the second element of anger that I want to talk about, is that anger leaves you with regrets. I believe that Samson at this point, probably once he cooled down, says, "Man, probably should have just talked to these guys. Maybe I should just talk to the father and say, 'What are you doing, man? It's my wife. Why'd you do that for?'" And I say, "You know, that's not right, man. I don't know how you people do it here, but we don't do it that way in Israel. Well, why'd you do that for?" And say, "You know what? I'm gonna go talk to some of the leaders here and say, 'Hey, you know what happened here? Just so you know, here's what this guy did to me.'" And they probably would have taken care of it, or maybe they'd have rectified it. I don't know how they rectified it, but instead of just talking it through, he just blew up, and now I think he's probably having some regrets that he lost his temper. If he'd have just communicated his feelings better. Now, very often, anger is preceded by other emotions. For instance, my grandson, Uriah, he does not like to get embarrassed. If he feels embarrassed, you know, as an adult, if you get embarrassed, sometimes you'll just turn to red, like, "Oh, you know, he's red with embarrassment, kind of embarrassed, and oh man, I came off, you know, I was walking around all day, my fly was open. I can't believe, it's embarrassing, I'm kind of, you know, turn red face." Not with kids, though. You get a 7-year-old who gets embarrassed, and all of a sudden, man, he turns to rage. He'll turn to rage. I didn't realize that. You know, this last trip I went on, back to Mississippi, I was just kind of joking with him. And said, "Oh, your eyes, how you like your class? Yeah, you got a girlfriend? You probably got a girlfriend, huh?" "I don't have a girlfriend, Pa." And he just went crazy, like, "Whoa." But he was embarrassed that I would ask that. And so I said, I was just kind of trying to have fun with him, but that's not good. So sometimes embarrassment is the real issue, but it comes off in anger or hurt. I think this is probably a common one. Very often people are hurt. But what they mask that hurt because they don't want people to see that they're weak. And I'm like, "Hey, I don't want you to know you hurt me," but it'll just come off in anger. Or disrespect. Sometimes people get disrespected. It's like, "You know what, that was rude, and you made me feel about this big by doing that," and you get angry with that. Unappreciated. Boy, if you feel like unappreciated, like, "Man, you know what, they don't realize, you know, what I did for them. They don't realize the sacrifices I'm making here." And it can cause you to get really, really angry when you feel unappreciated. And then this is an interesting one. You wouldn't think this would be the underlying cause of anger, but grief. Unprocessed grief, where you've lost something, you've suffered loss, and you haven't processed through that grief properly, and what comes out is not tears. What comes out is anger, and where you're short. And that's one of the things that I've struggled with over the years. I don't process grief real well. I am prone to get angry. That happened when my dad died. It happened when my brother died. And I don't grieve properly. It's probably a man thing. A lot of men probably have a hard time grieving. And so mine oftentimes comes out in anger. Trying to right wrongs when angry always leads to disaster. And that's what Samson is trying to do. He's angry, he felt wronged, and he says, I'm going to fix this thing. But he's fixing it in a fit of rage. And it says in the book of James that the anger of man doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. That whenever you're angry, that typically is going to set the foundation for just a bunch of bad behavior when you're that mad. Ephesians 4:26 says this, be angry and yet do not sin. And it's interesting that, just so you'll know, a little side note, whenever you see in the New Testament a scripture that it's all capitalized, what that means is that was previously said in the Old Testament. So you'll want to reference whenever you see a sentence or a verse all capitalized. You want to reference on your little Bible thing of where it's at and take it back to the Old Testament to see where it was first mentioned. Be angry and yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down in your anger. See, there's a righteous anger. There's some things that we should be angry about. We should be angry about injustice. We should be angry about unfairness. We should be angry when the innocent are hurt. We should be angry. There are certain things that you should be angry about. Jesus was angry when he went into the temple and he saw people taking advantage by selling the sacrificial animals in the temple. That in itself probably was not a good idea, but probably what was taking place is they were charging an exorbitant price. Again, it's like when you go to the ballpark and you're in there, and if you want a hot dog, you can't go to Costco and get one of those $1.50 dogs that comes with a Coke. No, you're going to spend $6 for a hot dog that's probably been sitting since last night's game. And you're going to, why? Because you can't leave. You can't get it. If you want a hot dog, you're going to eat our hot dog. You're going to pay exorbitant price. That's why Jesus was probably mad. And he cleansed the temple, but he didn't sin. He did it in a controlled way. So there's a righteous anger, but there's an unrighteous anger. And that reference there in 4:26 where it says, bring that verse back up, guys. Be angry and yet do not sin. That is referencing back in Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. And it's a Psalm of David. And most Bible scholars believe that this psalm was written concerning David's son Absalom. His son Absalom, who he had a rough relationship with, David did. And Absalom began to pull away the people's hearts from David and from his kingdom. And he was hit at the city gate. And as people would come through, he would say, hey, how's it going? Oh, not good. My crop got raided by some Philistines. Well, you know what? He said, if I was king, you know what I would do? He says, I would make sure that we had guards around all of our people's fields. I says, you know what? If I'm king, that's what I'll do. And so he's sitting there politicking, Absalom is, at the city gate. And he did this for several years. And eventually he led a revolt. And because he had already spoken to the people and kind of captured their hearts, a good chunk of the people went over with Absalom against his own father, David. And it says there in Psalm 4, David says, you know what? He says, I laid on my bed still, and yet I controlled my anger. I didn't let it get away from me. I held on to it. I didn't go bad. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Now, David demonstrated how we're to respond when we're done wrong. David had this thing down. And basically what David would do, he says, you know what? God is my avenger. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. There we go again. That's in the Old Testament. Here's your homework. Go home and see where it was, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. David was able to say, you know what, hey, I'm just going to let God take care of this thing. God will take care of some things. I mean, look at his reaction with Saul, how David handled things with Saul, King Saul, who was trying to kill him and kill him and kill him. And David had a chance to kill him at one time, remember? Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. And his David's servants there saying, man, this is it, man. Take his head off. He's right here. And David, I can't do it. But David did cut off a little piece of his cloth to later tell Saul, saying, look, man, I could have killed you. And then he felt even bad about that. But David said, I can't do this, man. That's the Lord's anointed. You know, what he's doing is wrong, but it's not my place to take him out. That's God's place. So my place is I'm going to come under the authority, wrong or right, and I'm going to let God take care of this thing. Let God fight your battles. Let God have your back. Well, it goes on. Verse 8, he struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock of Edom. Then the Philistines went up and camped in Judah, and spread out in Lehi. The men of Judah said, verse 10, why have you come up against us? And they said, we have come up in order to bind Samson, in order that to do to him as he did to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us? And he said to them, as they have done to me, so I have done to them. Here's the third thing that anger causes. It causes innocent people to be hurt. It causes innocent people to be hurt. These men of Judah are saying, you know what? Hey, man, these guys are coming up here. Because of you losing your head, man, because of you losing your temper, these Philistines who are already over us, they're already making our life hard. Things were just starting to get good. Now, man, you've ticked them off, and they're going to come up here, and they're going to just make life hard for us again. Thanks a lot, Samson. Samson's anger caused other people to suffer the consequences of it. Whenever we don't deal with our anger properly and explode, very often it's not just the person that we blow up on that gets hurt. Very often it's other people around. I think of parents who can't get their tempers under control, can't get their anger under control, and end up divorcing, and you know, just because of anger, oh, I'm so mad at you, I can't, don't get it resolved. And yet, who suffers? The kids. The kids suffer. Grow up without mom and dad. Innocent people always suffer. The other thing that happens very often if you don't deal with anger is that you will hurt people who really aren't even the problem. Sometimes those people closest to you, you're angry about something else that has nothing to do with them, but because they're close and because they're convenient and maybe because you won't show your anger to the person that offended you for fear of whatever, and what you'll do is you'll blow up at your mate, or you'll blow up at your children, or you'll blow up at a parent, or you'll blow up at someone else. Yeah, that happened to me this week. I got mad. Some stuff was stacking up, and I was just kind of angry about it and frustrated. And Vicky said something to me that I was just kind of in a snarly mood, and I shot back. And typically, you know, I would know, I could see that look in her face, like, okay, she's starting to get hot, just kind of bring this down a little bit. But I was kind of ready for a fight. And it's like, good, you want to fight? Perfect. I've been looking for someone to fight. And typically, I don't egg her on because I know, you know, she gets fired up pretty quick. But I wanted her to get fired up because I kind of wanted this to get out. So I let that thing just rise up. I typically bring the emotions down. I said, no, here a little bit more gas. And yeah, let's see how high we can get. Who's going to get higher here? stupid. You think we'd be beyond that after 40 years of marriage? I think I'd be beyond it, not her. But really, I wasn't really mad at her. I was venting. And here's the real danger of not dealing with anger is that it leads to bitterness. That's the real dangerous thing, is this bitterness thing. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Bitterness can be described as resentful cynicism that results in an intense hostility towards others. You become cynical. Yeah, right. You say you love me. Yeah, funny way of showing it. Yeah, cynical. Yeah, right. They always say that. They think they're so good. Not trusting, cynical, bitter. Those people, you just don't want to be around all those people. You might know some people like that. I can be that person. Bitterness, when you get to that point, it resists reconciliation. Once someone becomes so bitter, it is really hard to get them to reconcile. Let's patch things up. I don't want to patch things up. Come on, it's gone along far enough. You know what? We're just getting started, baby. Things deep now. You haven't satisfied your anger yet. You need more blood. You don't got enough blood yet. You need more. That bitterness, as it grows, as it's not dealt with, the Bible says it grows roots. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." You'll notice back in verse 31 of Ephesians 4, there's a downward progression that this root goes. The root keeps getting deeper. Let me kind of walk you through that. First of all, it says bitterness. Bitterness, again, unforgiveness. Resentful cynicism. That bitterness, then it says, leads to wrath. What is wrath? It's explosions of anger, most often at people other than the person you're bitter towards. Again, why? Because we sometimes don't want to confront or don't want to direct or jeopardize our position, so we don't express that to the person that we're mad at. And sometimes we do. But it leads to wrath. Just explosions of anger. You're a ticking time bomb. You go off, and then if you don't deal with it, the clocks start ticking again, and boom, you go off again, and just boom, 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 little bombs of wrath. And then if it gets deeper, this root of bitterness, it leads to clamor. You begin to tell others the grievances that you have against someone. Can you believe this? You know what my boss did? Can you believe what my husband did? You begin to tell them, and you know, this is, it's so wrong. Begin to clamor. And then it goes to others, where it goes one step deeper from clamor, it goes to slander. Now, not only are you telling other people, now it's widespread. Now you're starting to gather a group. Now you're starting to gather a little army, a gathering of people. You know what I'm talking about. You know those people. Sometimes people feel wronged, and what do they do? You know what? Can you believe so-and-so told me? That's wrong, right? Yeah. Okay, good. You're with me, right? Yeah. You believe you're with me, right? And so you're trying to gather some people so they will affirm what you're feeling. Or maybe you can come to, you know, finding a confronted person. You know what? And Ty feels this way, and Joe feels this way too. So you're not like alone. You're validating and trying to put a stamp of approval on how you're feeling with others. And then lastly, this root, if it gets really deep, it leads to malice. And this is what I believe Samson had gotten to, the place that he'd gotten to. This is a intense raging anger. I believe oftentimes demonic. You say, why do you believe that? Well, look at what it says in Ephesians 4:27. be angry and yet do not sin. And then the very next verse says, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Interesting that those two verses are right there. What does that mean? Here's what it means, I believe. That anger and that root of bitterness can get so deep that eventually it becomes demonic in nature, that you become so susceptible to the lies and the impulses that demons give you. Now all of a sudden, man, you're just out for wrath. And you get creative. That's where I think the premeditation comes in. Sometimes people are like, you know what? And this is what Samson's playing. He's like, you know what? He did this to me. He gave my wife away. I'm going to burn your stinking fields down. He's just crazy. How can I hurt you the most? How can I get something that is the most important thing to you and take it away and kill it? Because you did it to me. How can I hurt you the worst? That's what malice is. Dangerous, isn't it? Dangerous, this root of bitterness. Well, let's finish out our story before I get too angry and mad. Verse 12, they said to him, we have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines. And Samson said to them, swear to me that you not kill me. So the guys of Judah, his own people, said, hey, man, it's us or you. You got to go. We got to take you down there. Now they're going to kill us, man. Samson says, okay, but swear to me you won't kill me. And he says, oh, we won't kill you. Verse 13, we're just going to bind your hands and then we're going to turn you over. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. Verse 14, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him. Probably a wrong thing to do. They probably should have just kept things down, calmed down. Okay, thank you. But they shouted. I don't know. I think Samson kind of heard it like, you know, in your face. Got you, Samson. They shouted, and then look what Samson did, the very next verse. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. And the men of Judah said, oh my gosh, here we go again. I thought this problem with Samson was over. And look what he does now. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. So he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. And then Samson said, with a jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with a jawbone of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 men. Now, jawbone of a donkey is not real big. I looked at some pictures today, and they kind of had some cartoon illustrations, like he had taken the jawbone, and it's only about that long, and he'd put like a rope around it and use it as a club, and I don't know what it did. Maybe, probably what makes more sense is like one side of the jaw, a sharp bone, he maybe used it as a knife and stabbed him maybe. Whatever the case, he killed him with a little bone. When he had finished speaking, verse 17, he threw the jawbone from his hand and named the place Ramoth Lehi, which means the high place of the jawbone. Then he became very thirsty, verse 18, and he called to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned and he revived. Therefore, he named it En Hakkor, which means the spring of him who called, which is in Lehi to this day. So he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So we'll see between this gap here and then chapter 16, looks like 20 years passed. And he did obviously some good things because he made it into the hall of faith that we see in Hebrews 11. He made it there. I want to just close by talking to you a little bit about how to deal with anger and bitterness. I think all of us can struggle with it. And here's the first thing to do, how to deal with anger, is number one, kill the flesh and feed the spirit. Kill the flesh. Anger is one of the deeds of the flesh that's listed in Galatians chapter 5. Anger, outburst of anger. It's part of our sinful nature. And the only way to not have your sinful nature control you is on a daily basis is to have the new you, the spirit of God that lives in you, that's meshed with your spirit, to have that person be calling the shots on a day-to-day basis, or at least be calling the shots the majority of the time, versus having your flesh being the boss the majority of the time. You have to just tell your flesh, flesh, you know what? I know that you're used to blowing up, and I know you get a kick out of it, and I know that you get your jollies when you get mad and say all these hurtful words, but flesh, you know what? There's a new sheriff in town, and it's called the Spirit of God, and you're not calling shots anymore. And so you pray and say, you know what, Lord, today I know my flesh is going to try to rise up, and I know my wife's going to say something that's going to tick me off. And I know my coworker, the guy who irritates me, is going to rub me the wrong way. But you know what, flesh, you know what? You're going to just deal with it, because right now, Holy Spirit, just come and let peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm going to have all those things today because I've asked the Spirit of God to control me today. That's how you do it. Now, it's still going to be a challenge. You're going to make mistakes, but you're going to make less mistakes when you're consciously letting the Spirit of God lead you and you're putting your flesh to death. Number two, to deal with anger and not get bitter is learn to communicate your feelings. Learn to communicate your feelings. This is hard for a lot of us. I'm not a good communicator of feelings. I'm a stuffer. How many stuffers we have here? You stuff your feelings. You just deal with it for whatever reason. Don't want to burden other people. You're not comfortable being vulnerable to others. Whatever the case may be, we stuff it. But then we walk around half the time. We're like little mini Mount St. Helens. And all of a sudden, there she blows, and you blow up. It's better to communicate more. Learn to talk. Learn to communicate. Learn to get your feelings out. And then lastly, don't avoid necessary confrontation. There are some times that there's no way around it. I'm not talking, you know, blowing your temper or cool. I'm not talking about losing it. I'm talking about confronting in the right way. There's some things that just need to be confronted. Say, hey, can I talk with you about something? Yeah. What you did the other day, I thought was very humiliating to me. I'm not sure why you did it. You may not even meant to do that, but I want you to know, here's how I felt, and I didn't appreciate it, and I just thought it was uncalled for. Sometimes you have to have those hard conversations. Now it's hard, you know, that's hard for me. Again, I don't like to confront. When I do, I do it inappropriate. I do it too fast or too hard. I've learned over the years how to do it properly. So you can learn how to do confrontation. There's good books out there. You can buy some books on how to handle confrontation. Some of you probably need to get some of those to learn how to do it. But sometimes things just need to be confronted. Now, I want to close a little different tonight because this topic is, I think, very relevant to a good chunk of the people that are here tonight. And I want to give any of you a chance that are dealing with bitterness towards someone. I want to give you a chance tonight to confess it to the Lord, and I want to pray over you, and we want to get rid of it, okay? It's a sin. It's a sin. And it doesn't matter what has happened to you. It doesn't matter if the person who you're angry at or bitter against sinned against you. Your response by being bitter, that is a sin. And you have to call an ace and a spade, and that is sin. So you need to confess your sin. And then what I want to do is I'm going to lead you in a prayer for those of you that this is applicable to. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of confession of sin. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you're going to pray for the person that you've been bitter towards. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. If somebody's slapping the cheek, turn the other cheek. Pray for your enemy. We're going to have you pray that God would do what he needs to do for your enemies. We're going to pray blessings upon your enemies. We're going to pray that what you give out will come back to you. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We're going to pray that. And then we're just going to leave here saying, thank you, Lord, I dealt with this thing. So just bow your heads, if you would, just for a moment. Father, I want to pray, Father, for Lord, any folks here, Lord, that are struggling with bitterness, and they know who they are. And Lord, I pray right now, God, that your Spirit would just give them the strength and the courage to be able to respond to this call, Father. If you're here tonight and you feel like I need to stand for this, I need to have this prayer done with Pastor Doug, then I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. Just stand to your feet where you're at. Just stand to your feet. I had to pray it myself today. I had the same prayer that I'm praying with you. I prayed it today for me. Anybody else? Okay. Don't miss out. If I start praying and you feel prompted, just go ahead and stand up. Okay, I want you just to repeat after me. Just say, Father God, I confess my sin of bitterness, of being angry, of trying to take vengeance in my own hands instead of letting you deal with a person who offended me. I ask for forgiveness. It's wrong, God. And now I pray for the person that I'm hurt towards. I pray blessing over their life. I pray you'd work in them. Show them their sin. Show them the things that they've done wrong, just as you showed me my sins, the things that I've done wrong. I give them to you, Lord. Do unto them as you do unto me. Give them correction, but also grace and mercy. And now, God, I pray that the joy and peace and hope and laughter and lightness and health would come to me right now. Come right now, Lord, and begin to fill me, begin to heal me, begin to live in those areas that you haven't been able to live in because of my bitterness. All right, let me just pray this over you there, Sandy. Father, I pray right now. I take authority over Satan and demons, any demons that have attached themselves to these people because of their bitterness. Right now, they've confessed their sin. They've asked God to forgive them. And so I command you, Satan and demons, you take your hands, you release your grip, you release your hold over the people here. Spirit of suicide, you be gone. Spirit of murder, you be gone. Spirit of rape, you be gone. Spirit of adultery, you be gone. Spirit of pornography, you be gone. Be gone, be gone, be gone. Spirit of prostitution, you be gone. Spirit of cutting, you be gone. Be gone, be gone, be gone. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, God. Thank you that it's true. And Lord, may we continue, Lord, to just walk in your word, walk in your love, God. Let us learn from Samson, God, that anger, Lord, is so, so treacherous. Thank you, Lord. Give us a good rest of the week, Lord, and we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. Prayer people, come on up if you would, and we'll have people up here for you after service.